Hello and welcome back to the Rear Winging It F1 podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Harry McKay, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host,
Ellie Ledwell.
Ellie, it is time for one of the best episodes of the year.
Favourite one, yeah.
The season review. 2022 season review.
It's coming a bit late, the next season. we're like Drive to Survive.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Just come to refresh your memory.
Just before the next season starts.
Keep your toe in the water, yeah. You know?
See where we left off.
Yeah.
Overall, what were your season thoughts?
I think we were promised something so great and it failed to deliver on that. I think we were promised like wall-to-wall action, close racing, the teams being close together, but in reality we had a domination, like the biggest domination we've ever seen.
I feel a lot of that. My only thought, my only pushback is how much were we promised and how much did we, you know, it's like they said, okay, we'll have closer racing. And then that sort of started to roll the barrel down the hill where then, you know, we have like, okay, closer racing will give us this and it'll give us this. And then suddenly the momentum's out of control and it's like for a first season after regulations, like how much can it really deliver?
Mm.
So I agree. I think it was overall a good season to be a Red Bull fan, but also at least for the battle for the title after last season, nothing's going to compare.
Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't quite deliver that real intensity that the sport can deliver.
It felt a bit muted at times, like it didn't have the same drama. And I think just because of what happened the previous year, it went down to the last lap.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, not happened since the 70s, I think.
So it going was, in yeah, it was hard points. To, like, hard to come close to that. And obviously the first year of new regulations, one person's always going to get it right and other people are going to get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I guess we were just seeing that play out as we saw play out back when the beginning of the Mercedes dominance.
Yeah, that's true. It's not a lot different. What is different? I personally think the cars can follow better. And if you look at the stats, there were 30% more overtakes this season than last.
Yeah.
Which feels like a good improvement.
Especially because the cars are a lot wider this year. Yeah. So I think when we saw the dimensions of the cars, people were worried, like, how, like, the tracks, there's more street circuits now. Like, how are they going to actually overtake? So the fact that there has been more overtaking is definitely a positive, considering they're, like, 5 meters.
Yeah, exactly, right. So maybe it doesn't feel it necessarily, but there was more overtakes. And we did have I'd say a positive of them following better was when they would overtake, that sort of wasn't it. The car could follow and on the next corner or the next lap, they could come back. Mm. We did have situations where cars were fairly close in speed and they were swapping positions a few times.
Yeah.
Which I feel like we really hadn't seen that much the last few seasons.
I think part of that was to do with the DRS because they could follow closer. The DRS was then very, very powerful, and there have been some changes for this season at some tracks with the DRS to make overtaking either easier or more difficult.
Yeah.
Because I think DRS was introduced to make overtaking easier, but then they've made the cars in it so that it is easier to overtake. So the DRS now has too big of an effect. So maybe like this year, maybe we'll see a bit less of that, like swapping around. Maybe we'll see a bit more of like a few swaps, but then someone manages to like pull a bit clear. I don't know.
Because we did see quite often these massive DRS trains as well, where, you know, a car isn't quite up to speed, but it has within 1 second can follow. And then you have this car after car after car that can't escape. It did often provide, you know, if a car could make a breakthrough and all the cars were quite close, opportunities for multiple overtakes as all these cars are all side by side. But I think a few tweaks on the teams getting their cars maybe to try and get them closer together, and a few tweaks to the DRS. And I think these regulations have the foundation to be better.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, with just a little bit of proof last season that they were. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully this year it's just closer.
Closer, yeah. Well, while it wasn't close for the title, Verstappen finishing the season on 454 points to Leclerc's 308. So 150 points difference, basically.
Yeah, a big difference. And considering the car was incredible compared to everybody else's, it was kind of surprising to actually see Leclerc in second. You'd have thought Perez would have been
second. But I there was multiple tracks where Leclerc and the Ferraris were just as fast or faster.
At the beginning of the season, definitely.
At the beginning of the season. But even you know, further along, there was multiple points where the conversation from the weekend should have been, you know, with the results that they had, should have been, wow, isn't that Red Bull the fastest car on the track? Mm. But it wasn't. It was Ferrari have screwed up their strategy again. Or, you know, the a few times the car's blown up, or, you know, it was always Ferrari have messed this up.
I think the Ferrari also had incredible qualifying pace, so they took a lot of, like, poles, and they were, you know, they took a lot of good finishes in the in the qualifying, but then I don't think they had the same race pace. I think the race car pace fell away, and then they also struggled with strategy.
Yeah.
Pit stops weren't great. There was a lot of stuff going on off of the racetrack on, like, that was contributing to.
I'm not saying, you know, you fix all these off-track issues, suddenly you've won the championship, but I think 150 point difference does not explain the car difference. That is, you know, that should have been a 50 point difference, and, you know, we'd say, you know, in the end, Red Bull had the faster car, Max drove a bit better, he won, like, good season. Instead, we're saying, why, like, you know, I mean, Perez is not the same level of driver of Leclerc, but he, you know, was only 3 points out.
I think that it showed that, as, like, I mean, the Mercedes have been showing it for 8 years, and it was shown again this year. It's a team sport, and everything in the team needs to be working well. And that's why I think Mercedes was so dominant, because everything in their team was, you know, went together so incredibly well. And then this year you kind of saw, like, a team that was incredibly well put together produce one of the most dominant seasons we've ever seen. And then a team whose car, especially at the beginning of the season, it definitely held up. It held its own against the Red Bull. A team that didn't have the success that they should have had because of issues in every part. You know, there was crashes that were driver error. There was strategy errors. There was issues at pit stops. There was issues, you know, up and down. And obviously, like, Matteo Binotto ended up losing his job for it. So I think it wasn't a cohesive team. And I think that kind of showed with the results. They could have done better. And I think they were punished for that.
Yeah. I mean, there is quite a shake-up team principle-wise.
Oh, up and down the pile,
60% of teams, 6 out of 10 teams, have new team principals this season.
It's, like, unprecedented.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not like Formula One managers. Team principals tend to have quite a long tenure. Yeah, you know, they're normally there for a while. And, there's been a lot of a shake-up.
Yeah, drivers, just one swapping around and everything. Mike Crack still in his post, guys. I know that's he's a personal favourite, so don't worry about that.
I think personal favourite is Gunter Steiner.
Yeah, Gunter Steiner's not going anywhere. And then you have Toto and Horner. I think everyone else has changed.
Alpine.
Oh, yeah. Still got Otmar. It's pretty... shake it up a bit. We've got new team principal for Ferrari, from coming over from Alfa Romeo. But I think he did a good job there.
Yeah, he did do a good job, and I think he'll be a good fit. I think people seem to like him, and what they've lacked is that team
cohesiveness.
Cohesion, yeah. And I think he'll bring some of that to Ferrari, maybe get them in order a bit more.
Yeah. Obviously, they came sixth in the constructors, which, I think is quite a good result for them, really.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it's been a few years since it's been the Sauber outfit, but if the Sauber finished sixth, you'd have been thinking it was crazy. Yeah. That was running right at plum last, yeah. Or maybe the Manor team was plum last, but they were always close to the bottom. So I think sixth, I think that's like a good result. Obviously, there was a big gap between fifth and sixth, McLaren finishing on 159 and Alfa Romeo 55.
Yeah.
So there was over 100 points in it. So they were definitely like the bottom half, but they still managed to like...
I suppose this is what I wanted to say with it not being, you know, closer in some sense. But first of all, every team scored points this season.
Yes.
Williams last still had 8 points. I mean, I think Williams and Haas, you know, in the past have not scored points the last couple seasons. I think Williams had a few. Maybe it was only Haas last season that didn't have any. But, you know, for last place to have 8 points, you know, means that they were on occasion... races where the order was shook up. And you also have a thing where, obviously, Red Bull way up. But Ferrari, Mercedes, second and third, you know, it was close in the end.
In the end, it was close.
Ferrari were battling for second, which is quite embarrassing. But, you know, Mercedes did well to catch up. Fourth and fifth, Alpine and McLaren.
There was a definite battle there. It slipped away the last few races, yeah, but the rest of the season.
Third, second to last, they could still clinch it, but then by the end it was... unless you watch Drive to Survive, which tries to make out, like, in the last race, McLaren could totally clinch it, and it was like, that's not what what the points are saying. But so then you have 6th and 7th really close, tied.
They were tied 55 points.
8th and 9th really close. So there was lots of battles going on.
Yeah, there was.
And within the... the order, there was a closer battle. It's just...
Yeah, top and bottom, like, first and tenth were kind of on their own, but everybody else seemed to have, like, got a little partner there that they were battling kind of with.
So if we could have that again this year, but maybe between those groupings have it be less, then that would be an improvement, I think.
Yeah, because to have from third and fourth, I mean, it's not unheard of to have, like, two or three teams getting hundreds and hundreds more points, but between third and fourth... we had 515 and then 173. So there's a very, very big difference there. And then between the McLaren and the Alfa, as I said, over 100 points. So
there's no real competition there, is there?
No,
so
that's a big difference.
Yeah. Obviously, this season we did have a new Constructors' Champion. Red Bull finally dethroned Mercedes.
Yes.
How do you feel about that as a, well, more of a Mercedes fan than me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a McLaren fan, but obviously McLaren have a Mercedes power engine. Yeah. And, you know, back in the good old days, you know, McLaren did win, but we went, there's been a dry spell for a while. So then you look to, like, you know, I was spotted Lewis when he was at Mercedes, and then I kind of keep an eye on them. It's obviously sad to see no competition, but then... it's no different from all the seasons we've had before. Yeah. So what's the difference between Mercedes walking away with the season and Red Bull walking away with the season?
At least it's a different winner for a bit.
Yeah. I think, obviously, there was the whole thing about the budget cap, but I think that they were worthy winners. Mm. You know, they executed everything very well.
Yeah.
You know, they put together a heck of a season, and I think that they were worthy winners. Their car was great. The team was great. The drivers were, you know...
Yeah, I mean... even Perez really performed his job well, didn't he? Like, I mean, he's not the same caliber of driver as Leclerc, Hamilton, Verstappen. But, you know, in the first season before, he performed his job, helped win the Drivers' Championship. This year, he went further than that. They helped secure the Constructors. So I think if I was him, I'd be thinking... I'm doing enough to keep my seat.
Yeah,
which
I think
is all you
he's
can hope
doing
for in
enough.
Red Bull, really.
Yeah, they do brutal. Change out the wind. Yeah. He's not as good as Bottas. I think Bottas is probably the best number two, but then he sacrificed his career for Lewis's.
Yeah.
So I guess in this situation, Perez is older, so he probably knows, like...
this is his... it's kind of sad because I think every driver's got to feel they can win...
Yeah.
You know, but when you get to a top team and, you know, you're not beating your teammate, you kind of, you got to be a bit like, okay, well, I'm not going to win that title probably, or I, you know, I'm just going to stick it out and hope you do a, you're Nico Rosberg, where you do get it 1 year out of, you know, six or whatever. Because, you know, we had this with Ricciardo when, you know, he was in a team that had fought for wins and was fighting for wins sometimes. And he left that because he felt like he wasn't the number one driver, only to have his career in shambles. So I think if you get to a top team, you just stay there, you work hard, and if you're known for being a great number two, I think that's a
I think
that's
Bottas
a win,
could go down as the best number two that the sport's seen, and he has the money, so I guess he's smiling at the end of the day. And
he's got a nice new mullet.
A nice, and a moustache. I saw his helmet for testing. It was his face. It was his head. I think it was designed by his partner. It was amazing. I think he's trying to become an honorary Australian with the mullet and the nice tash going on.
Yeah,
I did see this video that all the F1 drivers, they were asked who would you want to play them in a movie? And a lot of them went for Tom Cruise. And Valtteri just went, well, it'd be tough because you need someone with a glorious mullet and a lovely moustache. So.
There's the guy from Stranger Things who had this pretty glorious mullet.
Yeah.
I feel like he could do it.
He could do it.
Yeah. It's not quite Bottas' level, but that's the best mullet I've seen recently. You did mention the budget cap. So that revelations came out this season.
Yeah.
Obviously about the previous one. I think we have talked about it enough, but how do you think it, you know, if we're taking this season as a focus, how do you think it overshadowed this season? Or whether it did or not?
I don't think it did that much. I mean, I think we had all the controversy with the one before, and it's like Max's first championship was controversial, to say the least. And then when you throw in the budget cap thing, it just leaves a bitter taste in the mouth. But I think at first it was like this massive transgression. And then as everything kind of come out about it, you were like, it was still a lot of money. You know, I'd like to have like $1.5 million in the bank or however much it was. But I think the main issue was how it was handled. By the FIA, but also from the rest of the teams. There was a lot of gossiping going on, a lot of speculation from other drivers, other principals, like Zak Brown he wrote like an open letter, and it was, I feel like there's a lot
really
of people stirring the pot, and it made it into like this whole saga that maybe it didn't need to be. It could have just been, we broke the budget cap, these are the fines, this is the punishment. But it became like up and down the pit lane, everyone was like whispering, looking over their shoulder.
It was very
gossipy
kind of.
It was like a playground gossip kind of Chinese whispers. I don't know if you're allowed to say that anymore. but it was, I think it was blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
I think because they'd had a trial run of the budget cap, so they should have known how it worked. And people just felt, when you're losing, it's easy to look at the person who's winning and be like, they're the enemy, they've done all this wrong, they're only winning because they cheated. And yes, they did cheat, and yes, they did break the cap, but I think that they would have been successful
either way.
So.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much where I'm at. I think it probably went overboard. I love a gossip, you know. I love the stirring, the pot stirring. So I like Horner as a team prince as well, because he's good at the job and he's entertaining. But it did perhaps cross a line a little bit, especially at the start when, you know, it did really seem like they didn't really know what they'd done wrong.
And I think just the other teams, like, nobody knew anything.
No, exactly.
And the other
right.
teams were coming out with, like, statements and...
accusing them of cheating before anything had come out. It was like, well, maybe that might be fair, but wait.
Yeah. I think the process from the FIA was bad.
As
I think
usual.
It took way too long to reach a decision. Some people feel it wasn't the right decision, and...
Should have been laid out exactly, you know, in... I mean, we have mentioned this, but... You can't have a thing of, if you go over by within 5%, the punishment ranges from some financial penalty undefined to undefined points deduction. Well,
they could have been stripped of
that's
the
anything,
title.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean...
And then it wasn't that harsh, so if you're in a close battle, why not break it?
Yeah.
Break the cap that season by $1.5 million and then... or whatever, and then they get it deducted for the next few years. But sometimes it's like, is the sacrifice in the short worth in the long? Yeah. And then it's like, if it wasn't too... Like, it wasn't that harsh of a punishment. Mm. So now it's like, does it encourage other teams to kind of
push it a little bit?
Like, oh, we only broke it 1%.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of how it was handled. Let's just hope the whole thing doesn't happen again.
Yeah, it should have been a lot clearer. It should have been in black and white.
Yeah. I think, unless you have any other general season stuff, we can go on to some... well, we'll talk about our predictions a little bit from last year.
Yeah, I want to just apologise for how terrible they were. I think we embarrassed ourselves.
Yeah.
We embarrassed...
We let down our fans.
We let down our fans and our families.
Yeah, family. My dad's not speaking to me, so...
Well, that's probably a number of reasons.
Yeah, unrelated, but I just wanted to just wanted get to that in there.
Air it. We were very wrong, but I think nobody would have really predicted. I mean, some people probably predicted it, but we weren't those people. So,
We had a four-way championship battle. I think was one of the big ones.
That was my one. I think I was like, we're gonna have Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, and McLaren all fighting out, and then we didn't.
McLaren did not, not even come fourth in the end. So,
no.
I would say Zach Brown let us down. I would say Ricciardo let us down.
Definitely, when you look at Norris getting 122 points, Ricciardo got 37.
I've got the maths here. Ricciardo got 30% of the points that Norris did.
That's embarrassing.
I mean, Norris was over three times better. It is embarrassing.
I
think this is a natural segue. Let's do some of our best parts of the season.
Yeah.
We can start then with worst driver of the season. Because I am going to, as much as I love him, have Daniel Ricciardo as my worst driver of the season.
Oh, bless him.
Because he let me down so much. And that 30% stat, remember that. That is quite, it's quite harsh.
Especially when he is very experienced.
Exactly, there's no excuse.
He's won races. I mean, he's won a race for McLaren, you know.
And Norris hasn't. But
yeah, he should have been the A driver. He should have been
up there, because I mean, they would have won even if he was half as much as Norris. That would have then bumped them over into
they'd have been easily in like, four. They were only 15 points
more points, and he couldn't manage that, like, and you know, part of it might be the car and it just doesn't suit his driving, but the facts don't change, right?
And if you look at he finished the season level on points with Vettel on 37. Mm. The Aston Martin got 100 less points than McLaren. So it was a significantly worse car.
Yeah.
And I know that Vettel is a four-time world champion and is, you know, a credit to the sport. He's a great driver. But he didn't have the machine underneath him. He performed very well in that car. And Ricciardo just performed terribly in his car. So, yeah, I think that's...
I also, though, this is not my worst driver. I thought he did okay. But I was just looking at points difference. And in the Alphas, Zhou Guanyu had 6 points to Bottas's 49.
Yes.
Obviously, this was his rookie season.
He got Rookie of the Year.
He got Rookie of the Year, yeah. So I'm not saying this is as bad. I think he did a decent job.
He was the only rookie,
job. Yeah.
He had to get Rookie of the Year.
good point. But he got 12% of Bottas' points, was, as we said, best number two, in Ellie's humble opinion, compared to a rookie. But I just think that is interesting to watch next season, because that gap will have to close. You know, if he repeats that next season, he's a goner. So,
yeah, and considering also with Ricciardo, Bottas outscored him by 12 points and got 100. Their car was 100 points worse off. So, you know, I think Bottas had a great season.
Yeah,
I think he kind of like it was a bit of a quiet season for him. Like no
he
one
started was, really well as well. Yeah, I think. A lot of points,
a lot of sixth places at the beginning, but nobody was really kind of praising him as much as I feel like he deserved. I think he put in a good showing. I think like Zhou didn't do great, but it was his first season and
one to watch. I think just yeah, one to watch just to see how he improves, I think.
And see if he is a pay driver
or whether there's some talent there. Because I think either way, it didn't make an impression on me.
Yeah. Speaking of pay drivers, my worst driver of the season is Nicholas Latifi. I'm sorry. Sorry, Nick. Yeah. But another Nick came in, won race.
Yeah.
Got the same amount of points as him in the whole season. So Nyck de Vries got 2 points. Latifi got 2 points.
2 points.
And that's one race versus one season.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really make it much clearer than that, can you?
Yeah. So I know Albon only got 4 points, so he didn't do that much better himself. But Latifi's just...
bottom of the leaderboard. It's a fair.
And Hilsey is not there this year. Yeah, he was a pay guy, driver, but yeah. I think that's the consensus. Yeah. He's a really nice guy. But,
time to go.
Yeah.
Time to go. I think lots of competition for worst driver then. But what about best driver?
So, my driver of the season, I've got like a few notable mentions. Obviously, Max, he had the most dominant season. He was great from start to finish. Yeah. He was great. George, I thought he did really well for his first season at Mercedes.
Outscored Hamilton.
I think there was people saying, like, oh, Hamilton took on the brunt of the development of the car, and he was the one suggesting to the team, like, why don't we try this? Why don't we try that? So, people were saying, like, he had less
copium
points.
Copium from the Hamilton stands, so I see.
Yeah, he had less points because he was kind of trying to progress.
Yeah, sacrificed himself. Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but I do think he would have had more of a hand in the development just because he's been in the sport so long. He knows a bit more about the team and how it works and all that. I've also said Ocon, you know, I put him as my driver of the season last year. He's not my driver of the season this year, but he did beat Alonso by 11 points. Yeah. That's all right. And I think they worked well. They weren't always best friends, but they worked well. I think that they did the reason that they beat McLaren is because they had two drivers that went and had good seasons.
Yeah, and scored pretty similar.
And
scored
similar points. And I think Ocon did really well. But my driver of the season is my favourite, Lando Norris. And it's just because he cost Daniel Ricciardo his job. You know, he was so good, he got a man fired. Yeah. And Ricciardo is much loved. Very talented, and Norris outperformed him so much to an extent that it has cost him his career.
Yeah.
And I just...
I'm going to ruin that man's career.
Yeah. Like, he was just... I think he had a great season.
No, I agree. I think actually...
So, Lando Norris...
Wise, I mean, he's 30 points above Ocon, and yet they... Yeah, like we said, they lost that battle. So... And the car... I do think that McLaren is not great. It hasn't been, it's not where it should be, but he drags it up the field.
Yeah, and he got it on the podium a couple times. Yeah. And
I think there was only four teams on the podium.
Yeah.
And the fourth team was just Norris, you know, and I think it was only once or twice, like, so it wasn't, you know, a wide range of teams up there. You know, we were talking about the groupings. They did stay in those groupings across the season. It wasn't like there was a wild, you know, couple podiums like the season before. So hopefully that changes, because I like a crazy podium.
I do like a crazy podium.
My driver of the season is Max Verstappen. Just because... I feel like as a Red Bull fan, I cannot not put him when he wins by that much. What a season! what a season! Honestly, he won so many. He set a new record. Obviously, there's lots more
races. This
New record for most seasons won in a season.
Most races won
in the season. Most seasons won. No.
The dominance that he had over his teammate. Like, Hamilton's had good teammates, and Hamilton's had not as good teammates. But he's never had that same.
That was quite a big gap.
Smackdown. Yeah. it was big.
And I just thought you couldn't really do it. As you said, Norris is a good shout. You know, there's other drivers that I think had a good one, good run. Gasly beating Tsunoda doubled his points. Ocon, I always quite liked Ocon, think he's good, but Verstappen for me. What about podium of the season? Your favourite podium?
So I have gone for the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix over in Italy.
Yeah.
Lovely country. Lando come in third. And it was, as you said, the only other team. He was the only other driver. There was six drivers that were on the podium quite a lot.
Mm.
And he was the only one that wasn't one of them.
Yeah, I think that might have been it, actually. I think it was just the ones.
Yeah, there was a late spin from Leclerc, and so he ended up P6, and Sainz retired. Yeah. So he was helped out by the fact that the Ferraris, you know, had a terrible day. And then also the Mercedes started in 11th and 14th, so you can look at it as saying, like, he had a, you know, head start on the Mercedes, the Ferraris crashed out, so, like, he was, you know, the next person you would assume to get on the podium, but he still had to do it. And
In a season with not many, well, no unexpected podiums, really.
Yeah.
I've gone with the same thing, but I will say the Mercedes 1-2 with Russell winning a race. I'll say that
in
one
Brazil.
As well. Yeah, in Brazil. Just because that was, again, the only other one that was really that different. And compared to last season, not at all. But, you know, just the troubles they had to come back and get a 1-2. And to Russell to have his first win with the team. I've put the same thing at Imola, but I'll go with Brazil because I think that was probably next best.
Yeah. I
agree. Best quali session.
See, I've also gone for the Emilia Romagna. Because Lando come in P3,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Magnussen come P4.
Yeah, that was.
And we had Alonso P5.
Yeah.
That was after qualifying. And then, what's this crazy world? We have a sprint race,
mm-hmm.
Which the Red Bull, the Ferrari did quite well. But Lando did start P3 in the race. So that was cracking.
Yeah.
I've also got a notable mention to the Monaco drama.
Well, that is my quali.
Because right.
I went with something more different, and I went with quali over, I went with drama over like quality.
Yeah.
Because I just find it fascinating that, well, the spin that happened, and then Sainz doing the same spin into him, and then later on, really, is where it came in, where there was rumours that he'd done it on purpose. And the rumours are still there. Some people die on this hill.
It's just the fact that Sainz comes down and does the exact same thing, like mirror image of each other. I was just like, I don't think you can really think of it as being on purpose when somebody did the exact same.
I can't really see it, but apparently the data is there, the telemetry data is there. Like, Sainz crashed on purpose. But, the Ferraris were at the time 1-2. Perez was third.
Yes.
I don't know why you would bother for one position over your teammate. Like, it's not like him and Verstappen were really close and having this whole...
If he was in first...
I can understand it.
You know, Leclerc was on the
four. There's more drama over this for third.
Yeah.
And I think... If it hadn't, the race hadn't ended the way it was with Perez winning, people think, oh, it's a masterstroke. You would never think you were going to win the Monaco Grand Prix
from
third.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't. Like, you think, I'm screwed my teammate over for one position. You know, like, that is what it came down to. Why would it happen? I just don't think, you know.
No, I don't.
And if he did do it, why is my question.
Why?
Why? Why? Why would you, like,
over one
point?
Position? Because I know that the Ferrari wasn't the most reliable team, but you would still not. I wouldn't bet on the person.
No, exactly right. The odds are still
Monaco.
Pretty low. I mean, that was just a monumental screw up, and I've said screw up because we're not allowed to swear on here. Otherwise, I would use a much harsher word. But I went with that one just because it was the quality that kept on giving.
Yeah, I've got some shouts to some other races as well where we saw some pretty good. Qualifying, I got Canada. We had Alonso starting in second. Hungary, Russell started first, which at the time was like, oh my god, you know, crazy. Mexico, the Mercedes started second and third, so that's also pretty crazy. But Brazil, we had that crazy qualifying and that crazy sprint race because Kevin Magnussen, he started the sprint race. He finished, like, qualified in first, but then obviously we had the sprint race, then he ended up eighth, and then it was like, whoa, what about the sprint race? You know. But Russell then was P1 after the sprints, so that was a pretty...
Pretty different, time. Was good.
To see Kevin Magnussen up there, that was...
We didn't really talk about him much, but he also started off the season really well, jumping straight back into the car.
With like a few days' notice.
Yeah, literally days. And getting Haas some points in the first race, so... and cost Mick his job, I suppose, in that sense. Cause...
I don't think it'll cost him his career in the way that it cost Lando cost Daniel Kidd, but...
If he hadn't have taken that seat, Mick still would have been there, because you would have still had...
Mazepin,
and there'd be no comparison. And they'd probably expect the car to be just as rubbish, because that's what the results show, right?
Yes.
Whereas Magnussen showed what you can do with it.
Definitely. No, so he had a very strong start to the season. I think he was walking around like in some sort of daze, like, am I living a dream for the first few races? And he did a very good job.
Yeah. I feel bad because I've made Daniel Ricciardo my worst driver of the season, but I did want to shout out, in Hungary, he did do a lovely double overtake on both the Alpines, Ocon and Alonso, and in their battle for the constructors as well with them, it just made it even better, and he got a little well done sunshine over the radio after he'd done it, and it just, you know, you could feel him. You got a little bit of that pride coming back. Just for a moment, it was like, oh, that's the driver I know and love. But it then promptly fell apart again. But there were a few other ones. I think Alcon did two nice double overtakes. So there was some good on-track battles.
There were some good on-track battles. A lot of good ones, I'd say, over the course of the season.
But... Yeah. What about the best race of the season?
I went for Brazil for this one. We had the sprint race as well. And I think it was like exciting qualifying, exciting sprint race and an exciting race. So I think I'm not a massive fan of the sprint races. And with this one, obviously, we had Kevin Magnussen starting in first. And then we had a sprint race. And I thought, oh, it's a bit of a shame that he has to try and defend that first for... a race and a third, but then, you know, the sprint was exciting, so I didn't mind it too much.
But I suppose you still have the negatives that we talked about, but if it is exciting, you do get that third extra exciting part of a race. So
yeah, exactly. But we had everything in Brazil. We had Russell. He had his maiden Grand Prix win. Mm-hmm. Max and Lewis had a collision.
Yeah,
classic Max and Lewis. Max got a penalty for that. Lando sends Leclerc into the barriers.
Yeah.
Lando also gets a penalty. Russell and Hamilton finished only 1.5 seconds apart. There was kind of a battle. There was like a safety car near the end. And then it was like, is he going to catch him? Is he not going to catch him? But he didn't. You know, as I said, we had Kevin Magnussen on pole and we had the exciting sprint race. So I think it was a good weekend for Formula One that weekend. So that's why I've gone for Brazil.
I like that. I'm going to suggest Silverstone for best race.
Always a good one.
Sainz maiden win. And we had a big crash from Joe.
Yes.
Quite scary one.
Quite scary, yeah.
Proper flipped over and then over the tyre wall and into the barriers.
I imagine the spectators were terrified.
Yeah, if that comes towards you.
Flying at hundreds of miles an hour and it was spinning and spinning and it... God,
right up against the barriers. Yeah, I probably would have ran away. Quite a few of them were running towards it, trying to get like better viewpoint. But and then Russell sort of crashed out with him, but not dramatically.
Yes.
I know he went over and helped, made sure he's okay. Drive to Survive really tried to make him look like a hero for that, but it was nice. Better than when he went over and slapped Bottas on the head. And just never look at Russell the same way. This is, he was trying to rehabilitate his image here, but it didn't work.
No. I think it's just the heat of the moment.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, sure.
Bottas is just like, well, you caused the crash. You don't hit my boy Bottas,
like, come on. Yeah, it was his fault.
Everyone loves Bottas.
Yeah, it was like, if it was Bottas' fault, fair enough, but he did it.
It was George's fault.
It was awful. Yeah, it was just, it was Sainz's win. He deserved a win. I think he's a better number two than Perez, really.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's
closer. At least closer to,
I don't think Ferrari really want to, like... Obviously, Leclerc seems to be the number one, but I don't think that
they never
wanna...
say it, do they?
Yeah, like, they don't want to state.
Yeah. And they often give them chances to fight on track.
Yeah.
Which I do like, so... yeah, I went with Silverstone. And also because it was two races I couldn't catch live, this being one of them, I had to... watch it later. I didn't get it spoiled or anything, but I think maybe Brazil as well. But
oh, so you
I'm
missed
not
the
sure.
Two
it was like the two best races of the season. I had to then watch the next day. But yeah, that's why I went with that one. Normally, well, definitely last time we did a season review. Best livery was quite a contentious field.
Oh, there was not much to choose from this year.
I thought all the special liveries were awful. There weren't many.
They
were all awful, in my opinion.
Do you think?
Yeah, I didn't like any of them.
What about the pink Alpine?
Didn't like it. Don't like it. I just don't like the pink. And I actually like the blue and pink better than the all pink, which I think might be unpopular, but...
I quite like the all pink.
I think it's awful. I think it's garish. It's awful.
What did you think of the old Force India? Or what was it called? Racing Point.
Racing
for a
Point.
Year
didn't
two.
Like that really. It was the pink Mercedes year. No, I didn't really like that either. Maybe that was better. I don't like the sort of the blue logo on the pink, or I just don't like it. I don't know. It doesn't
McLaren
speak to me.
Had a few special ones. They had one in Japan and Singapore that was quite pink.
Yeah.
I think. And then they had the one in Abu Dhabi, which I wasn't much a fan of. It was kind of like funny wavy line things.
Yeah. There was one where it was like kind of more triangly.
Yeah.
Like they had about three and one of them was okay. I still didn't like them.
I think, so Ferrari, they had a special in Monza, because it was like 1,000 Grand Prix or something, and it had a bit of yellow on it. I didn't like that.
Oh, I thought it was hideous.
Mercedes had a different rear wing, we love rear wings, at Miami. Wasn't really a fan of that. No. But my favourite one was the Alfa Romeo in Baku. Mm. It was the Italian flag.
Tell me about why you like it while I look it up.
Because it was the Italian flag, and it was on the car, and it was driving around, and I thought it looked cool. And Bottas was sitting in it, so it looked fabulous.
Oh, yes, that was probably the best special livery, as I finally recalled it and not Googled it. Yeah, that's easily the best special livery, I think. Yeah.
But cool. I didn't like any of the regular ones.
See, I actually don't mind the normal Aston Martin.
Yeah.
I thought that's quite nice.
I think that's like a popular...
Yeah.
I think people think...
Yeah, people do like that.
I thought Williams was okay as well.
Much better than the year before, which was, I think, truly awful.
And I think McLaren wasn't offensive to the eyes, but it wasn't great.
I feel like I should like it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, every time I look at it, it doesn't quite do it for me.
I thought the Mercedes was...
I like the style of the McLaren.
Yes.
But the parts are better than the whole, I feel.
The also, the McLaren, when they took it, when they first released it, it was more orange that. And then, because of certain sponsorship deals, the roll hoop kind of become black with, like, the Android logo on it. And I think, like, their sponsors kind of made the car look really ugly.
And the chrome wheels... I'm going to say it. I hate them.
I think it's just clever because it's like the chrome wheel.
I know, and they thought, wow, this is amazing. I hate it. Get them off. Lose the money. I hope they, honestly, we were talking about this before, but Zach Brown had put a statement out saying, stick with us, fans and sponsors, basically.
Yeah.
I hope chrome walks away.
Do you know, I think there was the Alfa Romeo. It had like, the wheel thing, and it was like the red and the white with like some triangles or something. I quite liked that, that on the wheel.
That was better.
But I don't really know why we need the livery to extend to the wheel.
No, I don't. In general, just no. But if you're going to, at least it's the same colour as the main thing. Yeah. So it like fits with it. It just looks so garish and stands out. And no.
But when it's moving around in a circle, you don't really see it.
No, not really. But I mean, it's a principal thing. I don't like it.
Yeah. All right.
The other one I was going to shout out was the Ferrari. Just because when I thought about it and I was looking at all these special ones and I felt a bit sick, and then I was looking at the actual ones, I thought, which is the one where I just look at and I just go, feel safe. It feels comfortable to look at. It looks like it should have won a championship.
Yeah.
The actual design of the car fit the color so well with the nice sort of reclining into the side pods around the edge.
It was
like
a sexy car. It was what a you're
sexy
trying to say.
Car, you know. It's got those curves, got those angles, like, and I just really like it, you know.
And it was a bit of a darker red. It was just a few shades darker. And I did say this year, oh, I've got to do a darker red, and they haven't
too light
for the next year. So yeah.
And that's probably what made it. Looking at this year's and just thinking,
and it had
it's the, not quite the same
black on the front and the rear wing, right?
Yeah, it just
and
looked
it looked kind of mean and aggressive.
Yeah, menacing, but like a sexy gentleman that's come to like swoop you away, except
in like a nice like them like gown like dressing gown things like
it
a velvet
classy.
Red velvet
it
kind of
classy.
Yeah like with a cigar you'd expect it, you know.
But as it's walking towards you, it has a heart attack and collapses to the ground.
Or sets on fire.
Or sets itself on fire, yeah, with the cigar smoke.
Or its pipe.
Yeah. Hopefully they have a better season, because, yeah, good lord. Let's hope. I think that's all pretty much categories, unless there's anything you want to...
No, that's all the categories I've prepared for, so...
Let's hope. I think there were some highlights that we've suggested, but you know, in a couple categories we had the same.
Yes.
And yeah, let's hope there's a bit more competition for these next year. Do you have any closing thoughts on the season?
I just, as a whole? You know, I didn't not enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think speaking about it with you, your lovely lad, every week after the races, I enjoyed that very much. Yeah. It's probably been my favourite Formula One season, but mainly just because we got to come and talk about it.
Yeah, share it with the, you know, all the fans out there.
All the fans out there. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, all of them. All of you.
Fan.
Thanks to that one fan out there. Yeah, I think we were spoilt by the season before. I think this was more of a return to what you normally expect.
Yes.
And I think I did enjoy it, and I think it has the seeds to go on to an even better season next year.
I will just say the cars make a really annoying noise this year. They're like a whining dog, or that you've just trod on their tail, and they're like...
Yeah.
kind of noise that they make.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as the car noise in Formula E, but it's getting worse every year. I'm like, I want that kind of
engine-ness
about it. So well, that will be...
If these climate, you know, nutters get their way, we'll be all Formula E.
Oh, Formula E, more like
awful.
Formula... No, thank you very much.
Snap, you showed them. I just don't understand why it's like Mario Kart. Why are there boosts?
Yes, and then there's like a fan boost, and then you drive like on a certain part of the track
to get them. Like, you know, there's like one Mario Kart course where you have to like drive on there, and you like get more boost as you go, like get more coins and stuff as you go on the bit.
Just
that's
so everybody is aware, I'm much better than Harry at Mario Kart, and it's his...
I don't believe that.
It's true.
I don't believe that.
It's
There's
true.
No evidence for that.
There is evidence. I've beaten you, and I've won.
Any Mario Kart fans out there, new tracks are coming on the 7th, so 4 days' time.
Cracking!
Yeah, I know we'll be playing.
And that means I'm going to be winning, so...
Okay, I think that's time, it's time to wrap it up. Final thoughts, Ellie?
Just thanks for podcasting with me this year. It's been a pleasure.
Honestly, it's been an absolute joy. And you know what? I think we've ended the season on a high because it feels like we've shed some dead weight from the start of the season. I'm going to say it.
I'm not. Mitchell, we love you.
He's not going to listen 50 minutes into this podcast, is he? We can say what we want. Let's show it. Say your true feelings right now. And if we get a message, then we know he's listened. Go on. And we know he's listened. Mitchell, my true feelings is I miss you every day. I miss you. And if you listen to this right now, please come home. We're worried about you.
Any hoodles. We'll end it.
You coward. Thank you for everyone listening. We'll be back next season to give you all our thoughts and expert opinions.
Expert.
This has been Real Winging It. Thank you very much.
Thank you.